following is a synopsis of the Sichas of Shabbos Parshas Bamidbar, Erev Chag HaShavuos, and the second day of the Festival of Shavuos, of the year He Tinase, corresponding to 1991. This year, the year in which the Rebbe said this talk, we can see a very strong connection between Shavuos and Shabbos, because Shavuos occurs immediately after Shabbos, on the first day of the week. There's also another connection between Shavuos and Shabbos, because Shavuos, the anniversary of the giving of the Torah, happened on a Shabbos. As the Talmud says that, though there might be differences of opinion which day of the month the Torah was given, everyone agrees on the day of the week, that the Torah was given on Shabbos. So the Rebbe explains the connection between Shavuos and Shabbos. Shabbos is rest. Yom Menucha, a day of rest. And that's what the Torah did to the world. It instilled a sense of rest and tranquility to the world. Because the world on its own was created in a way that it's full of action, full of movement. Time is constant change, past, present, future. Also, every individual creature has many different changes, going through different stages and phases. Likewise, with regard to space, there are differences between one place and another. When a person goes from one location to another, it involves a lot of effort, a lot of movement. But Torah brings peace and tranquility to the world, just like Shabbos. Now, since the creation of the world was completed on Shabbos, that's when the whole creation feels that, notwithstanding all the differences, what God's singular plan and intention was for the creation, that it's a singular goal and objective that unifies all the specifics, all the details. And when you recognize that every detail, every change, every movement is part of one objective, that brings peace to the whole creation. And we see this, how Shabbos is connected to rest in two areas, in the area of time and space. With regard to time, we know that Shabbos, we're elevated to a level that transcends time. That's why when the next week begins, how do we refer to the next day after Shabbos? Yom Rishon. The day after that is Yom Sheni, first day, second day, and so on and so forth. Why? Because they're not a continuation of the preceding week, because Shabbos took us away from the realm of time and elevated us to a higher level. So when we come back down, we're starting time all over again. So that Shabbos transcends time and the vicissitudes of time. And the same thing is true with space. On Shabbos, we're not allowed to go outside of the tchum, out of the boundaries that the Torah allots for us to be able to walk distance outside of a city. And the only reason we're allowed to walk within that area is because it's considered to be in your space. It's not really something that requires going outside of your space and of disrupting your state of peace. So Shabbos is a day of peace in terms of time. It transcends time in terms of space. We don't leave our space. And that's true about the giving of the Torah. It instilled a sense of peace and tranquility because it revealed in the details of creation what their ultimate purpose is, which is one. And that happened on Shabbos, and it happened in the most complete way at Matan Torah, when the Torah was given, when the purpose for which the world was created was revealed. So that instilled that state of rest and tranquility. And we see this in human nature. When a person doesn't recognize, doesn't sense the purpose of his life, so he's never at rest. He's always in a state of flux. Only when a person senses what their goal is, what their purpose is, only then does a person have menuchas hanefesh, menuchas haguf, peace of soul and peace of body. It's not only the spiritual, but also in the physical sense. And then when a person is in that state of rest, it has an effect on others until it brings peace and tranquility to the whole world. What is the goal? That this state of peace should also be instilled in those aspects of time and space that are based on changes. Just like the rest of Shabbos blesses all the days of the week when we're involved in worldly matters, which requires moving from one place to another, physically and emotionally. So the same thing is true about the objective of Torah. Because when we serve God, there are many different levels and many different approaches. The highest approach is when we sense in whatever it is that we do, whichever direction, we sense the central core that transcends division. As it says, Ani lo nivrasi ela l'shamash hazkeini. I was created exclusively for serving my Maker. In a general sense, when we do a mitzvah, that expresses this idea. On one hand, there's 613 mitzvahs, many different specifics, but there's a common denominator. What is the common denominator? It's reflected in the blessing that we say, that He has sanctified us with His commandments and commanded us, that all commandments, regardless of what their nature is, are expressions of God's will. And that's what the Mishnah means when it says, Lasas Ritzena Vicha, to do the will of your father. It doesn't say to do the commandments of your father, but the will. The emphasis here is that contrary to mitzvahs that represent different types of activities, and everyone is fulfilled in a different way, that's when you talk about the mitzvah itself. No mitzvah, two mitzvahs are alike. But when you talk about the will that God has for us to do the mitzvahs, the will is beyond division. When a person wants something that has many different parts to it, many components to it, so the will for each detail is equal. He wants all of those components that make up whatever it is that the person wants. And when a person wants many things, the will for one is no different from the will of the other. There's no specific will for each one of the details. So when we talk about doing Ritzein Avicha, the will of your father, that reflects the unification, the central core that unifies all of the details, because it transcends the details. The mitzvah to love God comprises all other positive commandments. And in this mitzvah, we also see a reflection of the above. On one hand, love is connected with movement and change, physically and spiritually. Physically, the heart beats in a manner of pumping and withdrawing. There's a constant beat back and forth. And that's the only way it will pump the blood throughout the entire body. Same thing is true spiritually. When you serve God with love, which is associated with the heart, with emotions, it's a constant movement of ratzei v'shev, advancing forward, retreating. You want to leave the natural order to come closer to God, and then you come back again into the realm of nature, and you keep on going back and forth. There's a pulsation over here. So what that means is that this whole process of going forward and coming back, ratzei v'shev, represents constant change. On the other hand, the Medrash says, on the words that reflect the idea of advancing forward and coming back, V'im ratz lipcha shuv li echad. If your heart races, return to the echad, return to the one. This is a saying from Sefer Yetzirah and from Zohar. What does that mean? When a person reaches the level of ratzai, of advancing forward, his heart is racing, pulsating with love and passion, he has to retreat to the level of echad, of one, to the one singular thing. So the question is, what does that mean? If the whole idea of love is constant change and constant movement, how do we return to the one? But the answer is, in light of what was said before, the complete way of serving God is when whatever it is that you're doing that has many different component parts to it, many different movements, ultimately, you should feel and sense the central core of echad, of oneness. You're doing God's will that is not divided into different parts. That is the emphasis. When your heart is racing, you should know that the retreat is not just part of the movement. You know, there's two movements, going forward and retreating. But it's not just going back because it's another movement so that you reach a higher level of advancing, that's true. But it's beyond that. The shuv le'echad, retreat to the one, means that whatever you're doing, all these changes of advancing and retreating is permeated with the sense that you're doing God's will, which is a singular concept, beyond all the differences that are present when you have this movement of advancing and retreating. And the explanation is that when a person is able to instill in all of the details of what a person does to serve God, in all the different movements of your emotions, the advancing and retreating, and you can instill the oneness, that you only can do when you have a state of bittul, of complete self-surrender to God. Because then you sense that everything that you're doing, your whole existence, is to serve God, and then you become connected and you cleave to Him. As Chassidus explains, commenting on the verse in Psalms, it talks about the prayer of a poor person, tefillah li'ani. What is the prayer of a poor person? So the verse continues, lifnei Hashem yishbach sicha, before God he pours out his talk, his words of prayer and entreaty. What does it mean? What does a poor person want? It's not the thing that he's lacking. He wants to talk to God. He wants to speak and communicate with God himself. And that's because he is poor. Poor here metaphorically means he's in a state of self-effacement, self-abnegation. And like the simple difference between a rich person and a poor person. When a rich person comes to the king, it's because he understands what the king's power is. He has a relationship with the king's treasury. So he could be attracted to all of the trappings of the king's role as king, interested in his wealth and his treasures, and he could forget about the most essential thing, is to see the king himself. It's only the poor man who doesn't understand anything about the king's treasures and his possessions. He looks for one thing. He wants to get closer to the king. What is the analog? When you're spiritually wealthy, you understand God's greatness, and you can appreciate the great creations of God, the angels, and you pour out your heart in prayer, you could be excited about all these great revelations of godly energy and of the angels, even if they're very exalted. You're interested in the silver and gold, metaphorically speaking, the spiritual silver and gold, which is love. Silver is called love, and gold is called yira, fear or awe. So that's great. But in spite of the greatness of reaching these levels, there are so many differences between them. It's not shuv le'echad, it's not retreating to the one, to God himself who transcends all the divisions. And since this person, this rich, spiritually wealthy person, feels the different levels, so he doesn't have any peace. His peace is affected. Why? Because peace requires no changes. But the poor man, who's in a state of total surrender to God, that means that he's devoid, he's stripped of all the spiritual levels and understanding. He is only relating to God himself. Lifnei Hashem yishbach sicha. He pours out his talk. He prays. He wants to be lifnei Hashem, before God. God himself, who transcends all of his attributes and all of his revelations. And when a person has the state of bittul, of self-surrender, as it says in the Medrash, Eved Melech, Melech. If you're a servant of the king, you are the king. And one could say that the word Melech alludes to what was said before. Melech is an acronym. Moach, Lev, Kaved. Brain, heart, and liver. The brain and the heart express these two opposites. The brain is at peace. No movement. No discernible movement. On the other hand, the heart is constantly moving, constantly pulsating. And the same thing is true with the emotions that are associated with the heart. They're in a constant flux of advancing and retreating. But when you have the state of an Eved, you are a servant of the king, you become like the king. You can unify these two things. You unify the peace of the mind with the movement of the heart. And your mind controls the heart, not just in a manner of exercising force and control, but in a very inner way with receptivity and goodwill. Where do we get the power to unify the mind and the heart? That's through the state of bittul, of self-surrender, that a servant of God has. That you reach the ultimate higher level of the king, his will, which is the above and beyond all divisions, even beyond the mind, which is in a state of peace, but the mind also has different levels. When we talk about the will, that is indivisible. And that gives us the power to instill true peace in all of the faculties of our soul and to unify the peace of the mind with the movement of the heart. And this is also hinted in the cave, the liver. That's the place where the blood gathers and the blood is in a congealed state, the blood that comes from the heart. That unifies the two things. It's the blood that comes from the heart, which is movement, but it comes congealed in one place. That means it's a state of peace, and the two are united together. This idea that we reveal the essence of the King by our self-surrender to God, that occurred, that state occurred at the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai. The revelation of godliness then came as a result of the Jewish people's surrender to God, because when they said, Nasa, we will do, before they said Nishma, we will hear what it is that we have to do, that was a sense of total surrender, and that's when they coronated the King, as it says in the Medrash, that the Jewish people gave God crowns. That was their sense, a state of coronation, as we see this in a very simple sense, that in Matan Torah there was one central theme, Kablu Malchusai. God says, accept upon yourself my sovereignty. Once you do that, I will give you gezeros, I will give you decrees, I will give you mitzvahs. But it didn't remain that way. Afterwards, they also accepted the details of the mitzvahs. And the same thing is true in general when we talk about Torah. Torah is revealed from above. But it was given within the parameters of our world. Torah was not is not in heaven. It came from heaven, but it came down into the parameters of this world, based on the understanding of Torah of the Jewish people, as they are contained within a world, and they appreciate the parameters of this world. And in this world, that's where they bring the state of peace that comes through Torah. And we see this in the way we prepare ourselves for Matan Torah, when we count the sphera, they count the days. After counting all the different levels, which represents dealing with every little detail of our personality from level to level, when we reach the 50th day, when the Torah was given, we also acquired all of the different levels of the entire structure, hierarchical structure of spiritual worlds, and the physical and the spiritual, all of this. After the 49 days, when we reach the 50th day, everything is permeated with one central core, Shuv Le'echad, return to the One. Now this year, the year in which the Rebbe said this talk, when Shavuos occurred on a Sunday, there are two very important points. Shabbos brings rest and tranquility to the creation, just like the first Shabbos. The first day of the week, that's the beginning of creation, anew. And every year when the Torah was given, on this time, the Torah is given anew. So when we go straight from Shabbos to Shavuos, two points are underscored. Number one, the preparation for Shavuos is the rest of Shabbos. So that instills more power of rest in Matan Torah, which is itself an idea of rest. It compounds it. And the second point is, that it underscores how the rest and tranquility associated with Matan Torah doesn't remain in its own state, but it permeates the changes within the world, within creation, which occurs on the first day of the week, that are associated with division of time and space. And Shavuos instills the unity and the peace that comes along with it into the divisions within this world. And there's also a connection to the Parsha of Bamidbar. The giving of the Torah occurred where? In a midbar, in a desert. What does that teach us? That within the physical world itself, the Torah was given in a place that is the very opposite of rest, a place that people can't even reside, people can't inhabit. It's so not restful. And that's where the Torah was given. And it also was connected to the beginning of the Parsha, where they counted the Jewish people. What is counting? Counting is, on one hand, the idea of peace, something that is in a higher state, something that is important. That's why there's a law that something that you count cannot become nullified. If a non-kosher food gets mixed up with a ratio of 60 to 1 in kosher, the whole thing is kosher. But if it's something that we count, that has importance, that cannot become nullified. So this is a symbol of something that's very important, a state of rest. But simultaneously, where do they count the Jews? In the place where there's the least amount of rest, in the desert, bringing that which is restful into that which is not restful. Now, every year we have to receive the Torah as if it was given now anew. Yiyu beinecha kichadashim. It should be in your eyes as if it was new, in a manner that we could absorb it, we can integrate it in our mind. And this gives a rejuvenation to all of what we're doing in the study of Torah, and everything that we do, both quantitatively and qualitatively, when we have this concept of rest. And this applies to our general classes of Torah, study of Pirkei Avos, Ethics of the Fathers, throughout the Shabbosos, the Sabbaths of the whole summer. We should also learn one Mishnah in depth, also the study of Chitas, the three different lessons of Chumash, Tilim, and Tanya, which are connected to the three shepherds, the three Jewish leaders that are connected to Shavuos, namely Moshe Rabbeinu, King David, and the Baal Shem Tov, and the study of Rambam. Those are the general classes. Also, each individual has their own specific areas that they learn according to their level. And likewise, there should be an increase in writing new teachings of Torah, novel interpretations, and disseminating them through publishing them. As we know, there's an obligation that every Jew has to not just study Torah that was given, but to find new vistas, new dimensions, new ideas, new interpretations. And every Jew has his share in Torah. And that's especially relevant in our generation, that even though we have to be careful when we say new ideas, that they should be consistent with the principles of Torah, but because our generation has so descended and declined, we have to look for many new ways to increase and enhance the study of Torah. As we see that when we look for new dimensions of Torah, new ideas, the person who's looking for that and finding it, that enhances his excitement and enthusiasm in the learning of Torah, and of course it encourages others to want to emulate that, and they too increase their study of Torah. And from all this, where we'll reach the ultimate state of peace in the most perfect sense, that will be the state of peace in the future, which is called Yom Shekulei Shabbos Menucha L'Chai Ha'ilami, eternal peace and rest, eternal Shabbos, when all aspects of Golos will be nullified. Golos is the very opposite of peace and tranquility. A summary of the synopsis. The holiday of Shavuos this year, the year in which the Rebbe said this talk, has a very special quality that it comes right after Shabbos. So there are three consecutive days of holiness. And there's a connection between Shabbos and the giving of the Torah, because they both contribute to peace in the world. It says about Shabbos, what was the world lacking after 6 days of creation? It was lacking menucha, peace. Comes Shabbos, comes the peace. And that's what Torah also contributed to the world. It brought peace to the world, as it says in the Talmud, that as long as the Torah had not been given, there was no certainty that the world would survive. Only after the Torah was given did the world settle down and knew that it was here to stay. What is the explanation? The world itself is subject to changes and not being in a constant, peaceful state. And Shabbos, which transcends time, which is the conclusion of creation, brought peace and tranquility to the world. It brought us to the point that the whole world could appreciate the fact that it, in spite of all of its differences, was created by the one God with one objective that transcends all the differences. When will the ultimate state of nucha, of peace and tranquility, happen? That will happen in the days of Mashiach. But when the Torah was given, it gave us that potential for this state of peace. Why is that? Because when a person doesn't know what his purpose and objective in life is, he is constantly subject to all sorts of stress, and he's never at peace. Only when the Torah was given could everyone see and feel what his purpose in life is, and that's what gives us a state of peace and tranquility that affects both the soul and the body. In serving God, there are two possibilities. You can do every mitzvah, But every mitzvah, as you sense, is different from every other mitzvah. You feel the differences, but then there's another approach where you do all the mitzvahs in a way that you feel and discern that every mitzvah is really the fulfillment of God's will that transcends all the details. How do we reach that level? Through bittul, by surrendering our egos to Hashem, we become God's servants, and then we become like God Himself. So what are we interested in as God's servants? Just to fulfill God's will. Not because we want to get all the spiritual levels that one could attain through doing mitzvahs, which of course happens, but that's not our objective. Our objective is to be one with Hashem. And that singular attitude brings us peace and unity, because everything we do is to fulfill God's will. And that's the connection to the Parsha Bamidbar, teaches us that the world is like a desert, a place that's lacking settlement. You're not settled in a desert. And what is our goal? What is our purpose to bring peace and civilization and settlement into the world, which is a desert? And we do that through Torah. And since the deed is the essential thing, the Rebbe says we should increase in learning of Torah and find new dimensions, new meanings, new interpretations. But by learning first the general teachings of Chitas, Chumash, Tilim, Tanya, Rambam, Pirkei Avos, and everyone's own specific lessons, and we should increase in quantity and quality. But we should also publicize the importance of printing and publishing new ideas of Torah. And even if you're not 100% sure that what you're saying is 100% true, but as long as you follow the general principles of Torah, the benefit outweighs the deficit. And that will lead us to the time when we will see the new dimensions of Torah revealed in the days of Mashiach. Some highlights of this talk. The Rebbe said, when a person doesn't sense what is his purpose in life, namely that I was created to serve God exclusively, he can never be in a state of peace and never be settled. Why? Because the vicissitudes of time and space and all the different details of life cause a person to be not at peace with himself. They break you up into different parts. You're scattered all over. Only when you sense that there's one singular goal for everything, that brings you true peace, which transcends all the changes of life. And that's what makes the person complete. As we see that a person is more whole when he's in a state of peace, when his body and soul are tranquil. And the Rebbe said that the ultimate goal is to get rid of all the things that Golus causes us to not see reality, everything that is concealed, and all the questions that we have will be nullified with the redemption and the coming of Mashiach. And all these concealments come from exile, because we were born in exile, we were raised in exile, so we are exile people. God protect us from that. And we are in a state of golus. We have a golus mentality. All that will be nullified and will be transformed through true tshuva by revealing within ourselves that we have a neshama, which is an integral part of God, that transcends exile and is in a state of peace, which is a sample of the ultimate future peace that will be eternal peace in the days of Mashiach. An excerpt from Besuras HaGeula, the announcement of redemption from Parshas Emor. The Rebbe says, the simple lesson regarding the actions which a Jew must do to further hasten the redemption. The Rebbe says, in addition to the activities in his part of the world, until it includes the whole world, to reveal that God is the master of the world, that we should do this in the world and in every part of the world, particularly through making use of all aspects of the world for the sake of heaven and in knowing Him, so that everything in the world reveals the glory of God. So in addition to that, the Rebbe says, there must also be a specific increase in studying and learning the Torah, particularly the inner teachings of the Torah as revealed in the teachings of Chassidus. And we have to do it in a manner of comprehension and perception, using our faculties of wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. And it's not limited to that. We also have to influence others by spreading Torah and Judaism, and also spreading the wellsprings of Torah, the teachings of Chassidus.